Good morning.
Lori.
Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you would. First Corinthians and chapter 2. Right. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for bringing us here today. We pray that you would bless the service, bless your word in our hearts, Father. Give us good understanding and a solid appreciation for all that you've done for us, Father, and bless our fellowship throughout the day today, in our Savior's name. Amen.
Amen.
1 Corinthians and chapter 2, let's start reading in verse 7. We'll read down 1 Corinthians 2, 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. All right. Well, we're winding down our short series that we've been doing on comprehensive Bible types. We talked about, we spent some time in Genesis chapter 1, we talked about the creation account and how that we've kind of focused mostly on the sun and the moon and the ordinances of the heavens that God placed there, and we saw how that those things, one of the reasons, one of the jobs that's given them, the sun and the moon are given seven purposes to fulfill in Genesis chapter 1, and one of them is to divide the day from the night. And we saw that is a picture, and the New Testament references, new and old alike, throughout, makes references to right division, rightly dividing the word of truth, being pictured in the sun and the moon, dividing the darkness from the light, the Old Testament from the New, what Paul calls the ministry of condemnation from the ministry of glory. And we saw that like the sun and the moon, those two great lights exist in the Bible, the Old Testament and the New, but the one is greater than the other. Genesis calls the moon the lesser light, and Paul calls the Old Testament that lesser glory as compared to the more excellent glory of his New Testament ministry. And we saw some other divisions there in Genesis chapter 1, and it turns out that whole account there in creation is filled with divisions that depict what would come in the written word of God. So we've seen that a comprehensive type is like that, where normal types are very specific and very kind of pointed. They picture one aspect of a certain body of truth. A comprehensive type is more comprehensive. It depicts more the full body of truth. So if you would expect to find a type of the Word of God as a whole, you might expect to find it in Genesis chapter 1, the introduction to this book. We saw, and we compared divisions. We call that message comparing divisions. Compared the rod. We talked about comparing the rod, and we looked at that rod that Moses carried and through which God did all of those miracles, all the miracles that Moses did and Aaron both, they did with that rod. And that rod is called the rod of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is called the rod of God. And we saw how that rod is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ from His earthly ministry. It starts out as a shepherd's rod, goes through the cross, the resurrection, the judgment, and out into the kingdom and beyond. That rod is inside the ark. That ark kind of just fades off into the account there. No one knows what happened to that ark, right? They've done movies about it. Yeah. So and that's how it is in the Bible. It kind of, in the type, it just kind of vanishes on out into the future. So it's a very comprehensive type of the life, ministry, and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that rod. Then we compared the python a couple weeks ago. We talked about comparing the python. And we looked at the account in Acts chapter 16 of the girl with the spirit of divination, and Paul, she begins to follow Paul, Luke said. She followed Paul and us, and before you know it, that spirit of divination gets knocked out of her, and that's what following Paul will do for you. It'll knock that religious spirit right out of you, and we followed that account down through the Philippian jailer, and we saw that really is a comprehensive type of what grace, of what the dispensation of grace is, and the liberty. That whole passage is about being in bondage and then being delivered, being freed. And it's a comprehensive type of this dispensation of the grace of God. Now, here we want to talk about comparing spiritual things. In verse 13 again, Paul says, "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." So what God is doing now through His Word kind of reaching the apex in the Pauline epistles of His Word. All along now, we've been seeing God compare physical things with spiritual. We've been talking about types. We talked about the sun and the moon. We talked about that rod. We talked about that girl and that spirit of divination and all those things. And what a type is a comparison of something physical that we're familiar with. And God says, you see this? Well, that's a picture of this spiritual truth that you can't see. So it's a teaching tool. So it compares physical things with spiritual. Now here Paul says, the words that we speak, this apex of the revelation of God, compares spiritual things with spiritual. In other words, we've got the ground already. And God has treated the human race this way. And you and I are are at the again at the pinnacle of that. After us comes the kingdom and out into eternity. God's purpose winds down after the dispensation of grace, or moves to the next phase toward perfection. So he's been bringing us here the whole time. So now you got these physical pictures of these spiritual truths, and he spent 4,000 years doing that. So we get that, or at least we should. We should understand what God has been trying to teach us all along by these pictures. You and I know that the Old Testament is very much a picture book. It's a book. Hebrews says that it has shadows of things to come, and samples and pictures. Well, what is a picture book? A picture book is something you give to children, right? To teach them how to read, how to understand, how to get concepts and things like that. Well, now we've got that. We've got the spiritual truth. Now, Paul says that what the Holy Ghost is doing today is comparing spiritual things with spiritual. We started on the ground, those physical things, and we got some spiritual truth out of that. Now we're on new ground. We're starting from higher ground. And now we're starting on spiritual things. And God takes that even higher, comparing spiritual things now with spiritual. That's where you and I are today. At least that's where we ought to be. So with what Paul calls the mystery, again in verse 7, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. So I just want to look at a couple of those things, because what does that mean now? We compare spiritual things with spiritual. How does that apply to our dispensation? Well, if you look earlier in the chapter here, you get our starting point. Paul says in verse 1 and 2, "And I, brethren," he tells the Corinthians, "when I came to you," so this is first when Paul comes into town, he's going to start a church. So he's got people there who essentially know nothing. They're pre-babies. "When I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." So that's it. That's where we start. You got to get Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If you don't understand that, you're not going to get the rest. Paul goes through this passage and what we just read, and he says the natural man doesn't receive this stuff, because if you're going to get it, it's got to be taught to you by the Spirit of God. And you don't have the Spirit of God as your teacher until you get this, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. What that means is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Who He is. The fact that He was crucified. And that word Him. When you understand who Jesus Christ is, and you think about being crucified, and you think about the fact that it was Him, the one who, I know who this is. It's God, Jesus Christ, and Him crucified. When you understand that, and what that means, why He did it. He did it for your sins. God did it. People say, why does God want to send people to hell? He doesn't want to send people to hell. God wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. But you got to start out where you start out. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now that's a spiritual truth. And that truth has got to be you've got to hear that through the Word of God when you're unsaved, because that's the only place that you're going to hear the Holy Spirit. So we preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Christ died for your sins. He paid the penalty for your sins so that you wouldn't have to. So we get that. We understand something of who Jesus is. Something of what it means for Him to be crucified. And then to understand why. So we get that, okay? Now that's a spiritual truth to start with, right from the beginning. Come with me now to Romans chapter 6, just back a few pages. Romans chapter 6. We're comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So we start out with Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen. Now, and that's what Romans 1 through 4, 1 through 5 is all about. Now here in chapter 6, Romans chapter 6, verse 6, Paul says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So now we're building. We've started off now on this spiritual, this high spiritual ground, and now we're building on that, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Paul says, you get this, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You got that? You understand that? Well, now, understand that, Paul says, we know that our old man is crucified with Him. Why? So that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So the Lord Jesus Christ died to deliver us from the penalty of our sins. But we also died with Him on that cross to deliver us from the power of sin every day in our life, so that we don't have to go through like we used to as unsaved people, day by day, just doing the whims of our sinful flesh. Paul says that carnal man, he doesn't get it, but the spiritual judges all things. The spiritual man judges all things because we have the mind of Christ. And the whole point there in 1 Corinthians where we started is that the wisdom of men versus the wisdom of God. And you know, there's all kind of ways that men will tell you how to improve your life, how to get rid of bad habits, how to stop doing this or that or the other thing. Walk into any bookstore, shelves and shelves and shelves of self-help. Listen, self-help is the last thing you need. You need Christ's help. You need more than Christ's help. You need to understand that you're dead with Him. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Then there's Jesus Christ and you crucified. Now think about that. You're starting out with a spiritual truth that's mind-blowing to begin with. And now we're building on that, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And look, this isn't like the types where it's, you see this thing here? It's like this. You weren't crucified like Christ. You were crucified with Christ. That's a reality. It's not a simile. It's not a metaphor. It happened. When He died, you died.
Thank God.
Amen. Read on, verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. We've been delivered. from sin. People, you know, the devil made me do it. I couldn't help myself. That's just not true if you're a Christian. That's not true if you're a Christian. Paul says, but you got to know this, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. So now we're not just dead, it's not just Christ crucified. Thank you. And us crucified with him. But Christ also rose again from the dead. Another spiritual truth. Contemplate that. That God, by the power of God, a man rose from the dead. Mm-hmm. Now, starting there, understand that you also rose with him. So your death is not the end of the story. Praise God. You're not just dead to sin. You're alive unto God. You haven't come from a place of debt to a place of balance of zero. You've come to a place of wealth, of life. If we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Someone looks at that and says, well, yeah, we're going to live with him someday when we get to heaven. That's not what Paul's talking about. Read on. Knowing, well, we got to know a lot of stuff in this passage. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. So not only does sin not have dominion over you, but if you're raised with Christ, then death has no dominion over you. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. See, that's a present reality. We're not waiting to live with Christ till we get to heaven. We live with him now. In that resurrection life. You know, you learn a lot about the life of Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but you don't see a lot about that resurrection life there. Very short passages of scripture with the Lord rose from the dead. You know how you learn? Where you learn about the resurrected Christ and that life? Through Paul. Through Paul. That's the only way Paul ever knew him. Paul never knew him when he walked this earth. The only way he ever knew him, he was introduced to Christ from heaven's glory. And that's where we, Paul says, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. We know him resurrected. And now, Paul says, you reckon that that's true. Again, someone looks at that. See, the natural man, he receives not the things of the Spirit of God. He listens to truths like this and he says, okay, yeah, I get it. You know, it was like that. Then so are you. You need to reckon yourself. You need to kind of believe yourself to be or talk yourself into. It's not like you're raised from. You see what Paul says there? Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Not in type, not in picture, not as an example, but dead indeed and risen indeed. Why do we need to reckon that? Because it's true. Because it's real. Higher and higher ground. And then verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. You know, the natural man, religious people, all of religion. And, you know, when I say religion, I'm talking about every unsaved person. You got two kinds of people. You got saved people and you got religious people. I don't care whether they profess to believe in God. I don't care if they go to church. The natural man is religious. Whatever your religion happens to be, it could be atheism, it could be environmentalism, it could be all sorts of things. It could be, you know, religion, the way that we normally think about it. It doesn't matter. The religious man, the natural man, goes straight here to verse 12. It says, don't let sin reign. Don't sin. Don't let sin reign in your mortal body. Look at that verse. Let not sin what? Therefore. Don't miss the therefore. It's because of what he said before. Don't jump straight in over to verse 12. And we still do that as Christians. I got this sin going on in my life. I got to stop this. Yeah, you do have to stop that. It needs to stop. But look, how are you going to do that? How are you going to let not sin reign in your mortal body? You get what Paul said. You get the therefore. You get the spiritual truth that's built on spiritual truth that's built on spiritual truth. You think that old nature of yours is going to be overcome with ease? Look, your old man doesn't want to die. Nothing wants to die. Every living thing resists death. And your old man is no different. He's going to fight. Nothing but the power of God through these spiritual realities is gonna fix that for you. So you got to get the therefore. So we're dead with Christ. We're risen with Christ. Come with me to Ephesians chapter 1. You say, well, how does it work? Well, what does Paul say over and over in that passage? Knowing this, reckoning this. Know it and reckon it to be so. You know what we call that? You call that faith. What a concept. It's faith. God's word that works effectually in you that believe. It's these spiritual truths that you get, not in the words that man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, and that's this. The words that the Holy Ghost teacheth in this written word and that spirit that dwells within you teaching you what that written word actually means. So that you're not like a natural man hearing this stuff and going, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but what are you talking about? He that is spiritual judgeth all things. The natural man doesn't get any of it. You've got the Spirit of God in you. If you don't understand it, then pray and study this. Get this truth in you. And let the Spirit teach it to you. And bring it into your life. He'll do that for you. He wants to do that for you. He doesn't want anything else. Ephesians chapter 1. Starting verse 15. Paul says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So now Paul's doing just what he did there in Corinthians. He starts at the beginning. He says, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love unto all the saints. So these guys, they believed. They got Jesus Christ and him crucified. They got that groundwork. And then it's beginning to produce fruit in their lives. And Paul says, once I heard that, I want you to go farther. He says, I'm praying for you guys that God would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, verse 18, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead. You see this? Now we're past the crucifixion now by the time you get to Ephesians, not past the truth of it, but we've already got the fact that we're dead to sin. So Paul he's moving on, and he starts with the resurrection. And he says, you see that power, the power of God that raised Christ from the dead, that power works toward you. He says, the power of God that worketh toward you according to the power that He used bringing Jesus Christ from the dead. That power works toward you, in you. So we're dead with Him. We're raised with Him, raised Christ from the dead, and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. So now, we're not just dead with Christ, we're not just raised with Christ, we're ascended with Christ. It's almost as if everything that Jesus Christ went through, we've been through.
Amen.
That power that raised Him up into the heavens works toward you. What does that mean? Paul tells the Philippians, your conversation, your citizenship is in heaven. We're not of this world anymore. Our residence, our home is heaven with God. See, that's why when Paul says we know that we shall also live with Him, he's not talking about something in the future. He's talking about today's reality, building spiritual things upon spiritual things. The power of He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. So not only have we ascended with Christ, but we're glorified with Him. He's talking about that position far above all principality and power. And He's still talking about the power of God that works in you. Everything, you and I are the body of Christ. Need to understand what that means. And hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be head over all things to the church. The Lord Jesus Christ is the head over all things, but He is that to usward. The power of God that works toward you, the same power that He wrought in Jesus Christ. He's the head of the church, but He's the head of all things to the church. The church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. You and I are the fullness of Christ. What does that mean? We started out having some understanding of who Christ is and Him crucified. We know who He is. How can we be His fullness? See, look back in chapter 1, verse 9. For having made known unto us, God did, the mystery of His will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So God's eternal purpose for his Son, for the Lord Jesus Christ, is that all things, and that's all of those principalities and powers, all power in heaven and earth, is gathered together, will be, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, gathered together under one head, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul calls him the blessed and only potentate. He's not just the King of Kings. He's the head over all things. And you and I are the fullness of that. You and I are the agency that God has chosen to fulfill his eternal purpose for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to fill all things, and he's going to do it with you and me. We are the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Chapter 2. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. In time past, that's where we started out in 1 Corinthians, not the wisdom of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So we're talking about the natural man versus the spiritual, the carnal versus the spiritual. Paul, in further down in our opening passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, as you go into chapter 3, he says, we speak all this wisdom among them that are perfect, back in chapter 2. Chapter 3, he says, but we couldn't do that with you. I couldn't do that. I had to talk to you guys like babies, you Corinthians. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are you able. That's the problem in Corinth. They're not growing. They got Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul says, when I entered in to you guys, that's all. I determined not to know anything else but that. Jesus Christ and him crucified. And they got that. Now Paul wants to take them further like these Ephesians. He's praying that God would give them that spirit of wisdom and revelation. But he says, I couldn't speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. Like I'm talking to unsaved people, even as unto babes in Christ. So that's that. Nat, we were by nature the children of wrath. We succumbed to the lusts of our flesh. We had nothing else. But God, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're dead with him, we're raised with him, we're ascended with him, we are seated. Heaven's not just our home, it's our position. It's our place. We belong. We're seated there in heaven, far above all principality and power. Paul said back in chapter 1 here, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. That means that power of God, it's already done. Romans chapter 8, Paul says, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. to be conformed to the image of his Son. And whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. That's past tense. It's done. It was all done when you got saved. It's done in the mind of God. And if it's done in the mind of God, it's done indeed. It's done in truth. It's done in reality. We just can't see. One day we're going to see. We'll get the physical effect of that. We'll get our new bodies, our glorified bodies. But the glorification's already done. Raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places. Why? That in the ages to come, in that dispensation of the fullness of times, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So in that dispensation of the fullness of times, in the ages to come, God has an eternal purpose for the Lord Jesus Christ to gather together in one all things in him. And he has an eternal purpose for you and for me. And that purpose is to be part of this purpose. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. Let's close up back where we started, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians 2, verses 12 and 13. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. See, why do you have the Holy Spirit? It's so that you can do what Paul's been telling us over and over and over again. Knowing this, knowing this, knowing this. We have the Spirit of God. We haven't received the Spirit of the world. We had that. Didn't do me a lot of good. We received the Spirit of God. Why? So that we can know these things. Which things also we speak. So how do we know these things? We know these things through the words that Paul spoke, that he wrote. So we're talking about the Word of God here, and we're talking about the indwelling Spirit. And those two working in conjunction, together with each other. You understand the Word of God and who that is, right? Who the Word of God is? And the Spirit of God working together. The Holy Spirit, what does the Holy Spirit do? It glorifies the Word. He doesn't speak of himself. He speaks of Christ. They work together for the Father's purpose. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. We don't need that stuff. We don't want that stuff. Get rid of that stuff. That stuff is tempting. I know it is. But you don't want it. You don't want it in your life. You don't want it in your mind. You don't need all of these philosophies of how to live a better life. What you need is you need the Word of God. You need the Spirit of God. You need to be with the people of God. Not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So that's what God is doing today. That's what we do today. The truth of the body of Christ and the dispensation of grace and what God is doing today, it's building, not from the ground up, we've been there, but building spiritual on spiritual on spiritual, taking us to higher and higher ground. Our ground is not the earth anymore. Our ground is spiritual. That's where we begin. And then we build. You understand, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And you think, what could be beyond that? There's more. There's more. Paul says, I'm praying for you. I'm praying that you get it. Build spiritual on spiritual. And that's what God is doing with you and me today. We are done. Do you have a question?
Wow.
Come on.
Yes.
Amen. Spiritually. We're swinging from the chandelier spiritually.
Yes.
Thank God.
Oh, go home, right.
Amen. All right, thanks, y'all.
Mercy
endures
forever.
Amen.
Glory.
Come
with me again.
Sean.